You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, May the 16th, and it's Combine Day today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word. Today, we're going to run down the Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 in Milwaukee, and also going to talk about the mock drafts and who they have the Pistons going with at number 15 so far in the early going after the draft lottery took place on Tuesday night. We're also going to talk about some of the prospects that I have on my radar that I'm going to be taking a look at these next couple of days in Chicago. But I'll be having all sorts of thoughts and analysis on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that throughout these next couple of days. And that's right, I'm in Chicago right now and was riding the train headed here to the Windy City to cover the Combine throughout the day. So I actually was not able to watch Game 1 between the Bucks and the Toronto Raptors, but I got the box score in front of me right here. And 108-100 for the home team. The Bucks get the win in Game 1, taking the 1-0 series lead. 29 points for Brook Lopez, who had some big threes late, finishing 4-11 from 3, 29 points and 11 rebounds for him. One of three players to get a double-double for the Bucks, including, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo with 24 points and 14 rebounds. And former Piston Chris Middleton, 11 points and 11 rebounds for the Raptors. 31 for Kawhi and 30 for Kyle Lowry. 7 of 9 from 3, so a strong game for him, but not enough as the Raptors go cold and the Bucks pull it out late. They're going to continue their series Game 2 on Friday night at Milwaukee. That's going to be an 8:30 start, I believe, on ESPN, and or actually on TNT, and the ESPN is the West Coast series. The Western Conference Finals continue tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, the Warriors hosting the Blazers up 1-0 in that one again. And I got my buddy John McNally. I'm staying at his house these next couple of days. He's kind enough to let me in, and since I wasn't able to watch the game, John was able to watch the game. Big Bucks fan, and sweating through that one, but pulled it off.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a great fourth quarter. Bledsoe got going in the third and fourth quarter after a bad first half. Started taking it to the rack, allowing Giannis to start doing his thing and finding Lopez for three big three-pointers in the fourth quarter that gave the Bucks the cushion they needed. They covered the spread. I think, you know, whenever you can survive the Kyle Lowry game, feeling good.
Yeah, and we were talking off-air about, you know, Kawhi Leonard finishes with 31, so obviously not a bad game for him, but from your perspective, and they play, you know, an emotional seven-game series, they get the big shot at the buzzer to beat the 76ers on Sunday, then maybe, you know, a little bit of Game 1 hangover for them.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely looked, I saw on Twitter that Kawhi played 33 of the 36 minutes through the third quarter, and by the time he got in the fourth, I think with about 9 minutes to go or so, he was gassed, and he got his points as he does. But Chris Middleton plays great defense on him, really makes him go to fight, and he gets his points but makes it tough on him. And it was a good win, and this is my podcast debut. People aren't realizing this so far.
Very excited for you guys. Of course, the Central Division rivals. We say that tongue-in-cheek a little bit. But 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals for the Bucks. Three games to go in this one. And, of course, the NBA Finals possibly looming, hopefully looming for Bucks fans. How are you feeling? Do you think that, I mean, this is a team that, I don't know if what the odds would be in Vegas right now. It's probably like a 5-2 odds or something like that for the Bucks to win it all. At this point, I'm sure the Warriors are even money or better in terms of Vegas. But are we feeling like the parade in a few weeks? I mean, how are we feeling?
Oh, no, I'm not. I mean, feeling good that they're better than Toronto. I know that. But you're talking to a guy who has, 32 years of Bucks scar tissue built up.
A lot of success.
A lot of success. I was a freshman in college in 2001 when they went to the finals against Philly, Iverson and the 76ers, and that was tough. And now we're back. It's great, to have a transcendent talent like Giannis to watch day in and day out is I mean, you got to see it with Isaiah. You had the try hard.
Going to work.
That bounced the Bucks in a couple of first round series. It's good. It's great. So am I feeling confident? I think it's Bucks in six against the Raptors. I'm just still definitely afraid of the Warriors until I think they match up with them well. They always play them tough. They beat them at Oracle this year. It might happen. It might happen.
And I think as Pistons fans, we can kind of say that, you know, Central Division, there is a little bit of a rivalry there, but it's not like the Pistons have ever been great when the Bucks were great and vice versa. So there hasn't been that, you know, knockdown, drag out thing where it's seven games and we hate those guys, that kind of thing. So really, if you're a Pistons fan, and I mean this in all sincerity and not just to be nice to you, but as a Pistons fan, you want the Bucks to win the championship this year because maybe that takes the edge off them in next season and the season after that. And if you believe that the Pistons are on some sort of road to be relevant within these next 2, 3, 4 years while Antetokounmpo is still, you know, hitting his prime and becoming the player he's ultimately going to become. I think that is something that Pistons fans should be aware of. So, hey, if you're, you know, the same reasons that you want Zion Williamson going to the West in the draft lottery are the same reasons that you probably want Milwaukee to kind of, you know, because this probably it's a team that could win multiple championships, but, you know, if you win that first one, it's harder to win that second one. That edge goes off, whereas if they lose in seven games in the NBA Finals, they're going to be a buzzsaw next year, you would imagine, you know, provided injuries don't happen or things like that. But John McNally, thanks for your time, for talking to us. What's the Twitter handle?
Oh, TrueJMC, and be one of my non-bot followers. I appreciate it. I could use some new, followers. It's a great time to be a Bucks fan. If any Bucks fans are listening to it, we're enjoying it. I appreciate the warm-up you guys gave us in round one. And I respect to Blake, too. I got to say, I respect to Blake Griffin. Let's just hope and pray that I get to see my first championship in my lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great for you guys. And so next up, we're going to talk about some mock drafts and who they have the Pistons going with here with the 15th pick in the first round. And I'm going to be talking a little bit later on about some of the prospects that I'm going to be looking at here at the Draft Combine in Chicago. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes,
a little bit later on, I'm going to talk about the NBA draft prospects that I'm most going to have my eye on these next couple days in Chicago. But let's move on to the mock drafts. We know that after the lottery, everyone posted all their updated mock drafts or posted their first mock drafts in some cases. So let's kind of run down what the experts are saying about the Pistons at number 15. Sam Vecenie of The Athletic. And I joked with Chris Burke of The Athletic when I was at a Lions practice recently, or maybe at the draft recently, that we should just have a podcast where we just read stories from The Athletic word for word on demand. For those of you guys who don't have a subscription to the website and want to know what's going on that site, and you should consider getting one, by the way. But Sam has the most comprehensive mock draft that you ever want to see. I think he said it's 40,000 words, all 60 picks with big write-ups on each of the guys. Encourage you to read it if you can. Sam has the Pistons at number 15 taking Romeo Langford, the Indiana freshman. By the way, as well, ESPN.com and SI.com also have the Pistons going with Langford. Big questions about him, obviously, after the one season at Indiana. Sam says that sources that he's talked to around the league with teams have Romeo kind of a little bit of a free fall in the draft. I should say a decline, not necessarily a free fall when talking about where he might end up. So there's a belief now that he's a role player. Some of the scouts that he talked to, although to give him credit, say that a thumb injury that he had throughout the season is partly to blame for Langford's bad three-point shooting. He was at 27.2% for Indiana. Really a guy that came in as a highly touted local freshman from Indianapolis that was expected to take Archie Miller's team and have him to a really strong freshman season and lift them to, you know, not necessarily one of the top teams in the Big Ten, but a pretty good team in the Big Ten, and really against Michigan State was the only team that they had a lot of success with in terms of the top half of the Big Ten. So did not make the tournament and just didn't have much of a season there in Bloomington. But still, there were a lot of folks who were not high on his three-point shooting to begin with, even coming out of high school. And Sam notes that there could be a large overhaul needed for his jump shot going forward. Now, everything about Romeo Langford in some ways screams bust, and the trends are down for him, like I said, but it says a lot about his talent and potential that even with all those red flags and the tough freshman season, that he's still projected to be in the middle of the first round, which is still pretty high. He's a 6'6 wing, but like we said, very young, and a guy who did not have a very good freshman season. And as we kind of go through some of these, you're going to notice that trend, and that's what you get at number 15 when you're the Pistons. You're going to get a guy with a lot of talent, but you're also going to get a guy who's imperfect in some ways. And if one of those ways, or if the most major way, is they went to college and had a bad freshman season, now there's a lot of different ways of looking at that. Does that mean that he's going to not be able to adjust to the NBA game right away? Or does his game fit more as an NBA player, a little bit more space involved on the NBA court? But obviously you need a higher level of athleticism too. So the questions where Langford wasn't able to separate from defenders is going to be a thing that's going to dog him until he proves otherwise throughout the NBA process. Now, the second round from Sam Vecenie of The Athletic, by the way, basically an identical player to Langford in terms of the on-paper stuff, but a bigger version and a bigger bust, and that's Lewis King of Oregon. He was a five-star recruit as well that was disappointing as a freshman, battled injuries throughout much of the first half of the season, but came back and recovered well, ended up averaging 15-5. Can shoot it, but not a defensive guy is kind of the rap on him. And we will see how he, just one of those names really that you could see pop up earlier into the first round than the Pistons would be, or I'm sorry, earlier than the second round and then the Pistons would be, or maybe could fall off the map if he's not answering some of those defensive questions and why he struggled so much at times at Oregon. And staying on this theme, TheRinger.com had their first mock draft come out on Wednesday. They went for the Pistons at number 15 with Kevin Porter Jr. of USC, another guy highly touted as a freshman coming in, but a horrible season on a lot of fronts on and off the court. Again, you'd be drafting for potential there. Kevin Porter Jr. is going to be a guy that we're going to talk about a lot leading up to the draft, and we will do some of that after the combine. But the NBADraft.net, a website that's kind of was early into the game of mock drafts and 60 spot mock drafts, not really a well-regarded website anymore, and they're kind of on all over the map on some of their picks, and they do have Sekou Doumbouya from France going to the Pistons, that raw Frenchman who's young out there. But again, the more reputable sites that I'm looking at have Sekou going 12 at the latest, so I don't see at 15 at this point him falling to 15. Now, all that said, as we kind of go through this list, remember what I've told you about this draft in particular. My feel for it, and really the feel you hear from a lot of places, is that obviously there's a drop-off after number one, and then a drop-off after number three when you get off of Ja Morant at number two and R.J. Barrett at number three. Although I'm not super convinced that there's no universe that those two don't get flipped from two to three going forward. But after that, we're doing a lot of reading of the tea leaves, and we know that during draft season, a lot of times, a lot of red flags are thrown up, a lot of false flags are thrown up, and some you don't maybe might not believe some of the reports. Now, that's more of a football thing, where the strategic nature of the draft, where there no news is always the correct news, and it seems like guys like Woj and Sam Vecenie and Kevin O'Connor and the other folks that we regard as the draft experts are a little bit more plugged in, and we have a little bit less draft night surprises throughout the NBA than you might have throughout the NFL. But that's not to say that there's organizations out there who aren't putting false information out there, which, again, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the Darius Garlands of the world, folks that at this point we expect to probably be gone by the time the Pistons pick at 15. But I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibilities that sometimes one of those guys who's well-regarded as a top eight, maybe even a top seven pick, could fall to the middle of the teens. So something to keep in mind as we go forward. But Bleacher Report, they have the Pistons taking PJ Washington, the first of many selections projected to the Pistons from Kentucky. He's a 6'8 forward for the Wildcats. Really more of a small big man than a big small man. So again, probably like a stretch four, but I don't know. Could you play him on the front line with a Griffin and Drummond? And it's a question that the Pistons will have to answer internally. 2 years of Kentucky, which is kind of rare. Normally Calipari brings in these McDonald's All-Americans and they're out of there in one season. But really for his size at 6'8", not a volume three-point shooter, but an effective one, someone who's improving from beyond the line. And to stay with the Kentucky theme, Gary Parrish of CBS Sports going for the Pistons at 15 with Tyler Hero, the 6'5 guard. Only shot 35% from three, which is pretty good, but not for a guy who's kind of regarded coming in as strictly a shooter. I think he did a good job of proving that he's not just a three-point shooter in his first season. But he is a great free-throw shooter nonetheless, and is projected as a guy who will be a high-level NBA shooter. So another Luke Kennard type, at the risk of buying into the white stereotype there, but another guy that the Pistons could be looking at 15. The Stepien doesn't have a mock draft, but they kind of list the players. And they have Darius Garland of Vanderbilt, the point guard, as the 15th ranked prospect for them on the board. Now, you're not going to see a mock draft that has him going lower than 15, but like I said, it is possible. Things change, but Darius Garland, with his clutch representation, the same folks that represent LeBron James, there's no surprise if Darius Garland would go number four in the draft. I think he probably will, but certainly a guy who, if for some reason LeBron James and the Lakers decide to go in a different direction at number four, maybe there's not a lot of teams in the top 10 that would be all that excited about taking a guy who played only a handful of college basketball games and has a serious injury that he's coming off of with their high pick in the NBA draft. Tankathon.com, a website we spent a lot of time looking at this year. They have the Pistons at number 15 going with Nasir Little of North Carolina. Again, a wildly disappointing freshman year for a highly touted guy. So really the Pistons, you're looking at either someone who really kind of sucked as a highly touted freshman or basically someone from Kentucky. So a couple of those options out there. By the way, pretty much all of these websites, all of these mock drafts have the Pistons all passing on the 6'6" Nikhil Alexander Walker of Virginia Tech, a name that we're going to zero in on a little bit as time goes on over this draft process. However, NBADraft.net has him going 13, so the Pistons wouldn't even have a chance to draft him in that mock draft. Again, I'll point out that NBADraft.net, a little bit wonky and not really the reliable site that maybe it was thought to be years ago. But who knows? Maybe in this kind of draft where I predict there could be some fireworks and could be some unexpected thing happening, that could be the case, that they are more right than say some of the others. But remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to the Locked On Pistons podcast on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcasting world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Pistons. Up next, I'm going to tell you about the players on the wing that I'm going to have my eye on the most during the NBA draft combine here in Chicago these next couple days. And also, some second-round flyers. We'll talk more about them as the process goes on. But a couple of the second-round flyers that might be interesting ones to watch, especially if you tune in on ESPN as well. But that's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. So some players that I will be looking at closely this weekend and trying to get some audio for you guys, all the media interview list came out on Wednesday. Now, this is the thing that kind of is a little bit in flux. It fluctuates from time to time. Guys that were supposed to have their media availability at this time is rather fluid, and sometimes it really gets skipped altogether, to be completely honest. So you never want to put all your eggs into one basket with some of these players. But unfortunately for the Pistons, a lot of them, or for Pistons media and listeners like yourself, a lot of the players the Pistons are linked to at number 15 are guys that have all their interview availability on Thursday at the exact same time. So it's going to be tough for me to move around and get a whole bunch of different stuff from some of these guys, but we'll do what we can, especially because I have other assignments from other outlets to juggle as well. But some players I'm going to keep an eye on, and again, I'm of the belief that Coby White of North Carolina, the combo guard for them, has gotten a lot of buzz over the last few weeks. He might be a guy who's most certainly off the board for the Pistons at 15. And then, of course, you have your top guys, your Zions, your Barretts, your Darius Garlands, your Ja Morants. I would also add DeAndre Hunter and Jarrett Culver as well. So basically, like, when you take away that top seven or so, maybe we'll ignore them. And a guy who you should probably ignore, but maybe keep in the back of your mind as he continues to kind of fall, especially compared to where he was going into his freshman season at Duke, is Cam Reddish. A guy who has fallen from where I've seen in most reputable mocks to more of the 8 range. Again, still a fall far to go from 8 to 15, but Cam Reddish has shown that he has the ability to fall in the eyes of NBA projectors over this past year. So we'll see how that plays out over the next month or so. And we also know that I will not be having my eye on Rui Hachimura of Gonzaga and also Sekou Doumbouya from France. Those guys won't be at the combine, so obviously we won't even get our eyeballs on those guys. So really, when you move into the next tier, and again, the important thing to think about with the combine is, what are these guys going to do? Some people on the top of the list, top of the projections, you just show up, you talk to the media, and that's about it. Ja Morant does have media availability. Zion Williamson, on the other hand, does not. So he's so far along in this process that he doesn't even need to or believe that he needs to talk to the media. So Ja Morant is talking to the media, and then some of the guys will get measured. And as we go down the list, they'll keep adding more things that they're going to be doing in Chicago at the combine. So some guys will get measured and maybe participate in some of the agility drills and shooting drills. Some people will just do shooting. Others just do agility, depending probably on what their strengths are. And then yet other guys will participate in maybe one of the 2 days of 5-on-5 or none of the 2 days on 5-on-5. Again, as we go down the list, guys that have more to gain are going to be wanting to do more of that stuff in terms of the drills and the 5-on-5 and even some of the body testing and measuring and stuff like that. And a lot of what happens in the combine, as we know, also behind the scenes between the teams and the players and the medicals and things like that. So the players that I'm zeroing in on are Brandon Clark of Gonzaga, a guy that I talked to you guys about a long time ago. Back then, he was more of a 20th overall draft pick, and I told you about how much I liked him. Well, I wasn't the only one, because since that time, he's been moving up big time. Looks like I've probably end of the single digits for his draft position now. But if Gonzaga, just an elite defensive player who's an emerging offensive prospect as well. And again, Nasir Little of North Carolina, who was falling. Romeo Langford doing some falling as well. PJ Washington of Kentucky. Tyler Hero of Kentucky. And let's make it a triumvirate, Keldon Johnson of Kentucky as well. And just the Kentucky trio that's a solid, put up good numbers, but really a team that was a little bit disappointing this year. So hard to feel really good about the freshman seasons about any of those guys. And speaking of hard to feel good about their freshman seasons, how about Kevin Porter Jr. of USC? High upside there, but some red flags for sure. And then again, the name that we're going to be talking about a lot that I got to believe that if it's not the Pistons, but somebody, I have a prediction that Nikhil Alexander Walker of Virginia Tech, and again, these are fluid, things can change, but my prediction for today is that Nikhil Alexander Walker of Virginia Tech will not fall below the Pistons. Now, does that mean that they'll be picked by the Pistons? Maybe. Or does it mean that someone in the lottery is going to like Nikhil Alexander Walker a little bit more than it is indicated right now, where he's right below the Pistons' number 15 level right now in most of the mock drafts as being a high lottery guy, but someone who'd be available for the Pistons. Again, so it's kind of a name that I would keep an eye on that would maybe possibly rise up the mock drafts here in these next couple weeks. But like I said, also, we're looking for the biggest Pistons fan in the world, so send in your emails to Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. Again, that's Matt_Schoch at yahoo.com. Send in your name, where you're from, and some availability of when you might be available to participate in our contest. It's going to be phone calls where you need to be available to participate in a multi-round single elimination tournament of Pistons trivia questions that we're going to look for the smartest person, the biggest Pistons fan in the world, to continue on through the tournament and become the Pistons trivia champion. So look forward to doing that with you guys over these next few weeks, and send in your entries. We'll take them through the weekend and we'll get this started next week. So if you got any questions about that, go ahead and let me know. But the other thing we need, most important thing we need in that email, is you to contribute to the question pool. Now, if you send in a question, and please do send the answers as well, we're not going to use that in any rounds that you're participating in for the tournament, but I will use those for some of the other rounds, and we're going on the honor system of please don't share your questions and answers with other folks who you think might be or know might be in the tournament as well. So Pistons fans, honorable group of people, I know that, and wouldn't want to jeopardize the integrity of our Locked On Pistons contest that we have coming up as well. So thanks for listening, and remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. that should do it for the podcast this week that we're going to do. I'll be at the Combine in Chicago. Look for my articles. I'll put them up on social media. Also look for next week. We'll have all sorts of good draft content. We'll be talking about the conference finals as well. So this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening and have a great weekend, everyone.